Genesis 31, 13. Genesis chapter 31, verse 13. I'm going to try to pick up on a thought I had this morning, and we'll try to review a little bit. Sometimes it's hard for me to review without re-preaching, and I try not to do that, but it's hard. But I'll do my best to just review and then get into what I want to say tonight and pray that God will help us as we try to share with you. Genesis 31, verse 13, please stand while we read. I am the God of Bethel, where thou anointest the pillar, and where thou vowest a vow unto me. Now rise and get thee out from this land, and return unto the land of thy kindred. Let's bow our heads and pray. Father, thank you for the Lord Jesus. Thank you, Lord, for the privilege to read the Word of God. Thank you tonight for the singing of the songs of the adult choir and the children's choir. God, how these young folk blessed our hearts and stirred our lives. God, to see them up there singing and praising unto thee. Bless them and help them, encourage them. Keep them from sin and danger. And I pray, God, your hand be upon them and use them for your glory. Help them with all their hearts to be molded and made as you would have them to be. I pray now, Father, for a divine touch of God for those families that we've been praying for today, thinking of, in bereavement, look like heading toward it, and some have just come through it. And so I pray you'd help them. But Lord, more important than that is people that need to be saved, need to be born in the family of God. I pray the Holy Spirit would speak to hearts. Anybody in the house that's unsaved, I pray be real conviction, drawn by your Spirit, saved for your glory, and we'll praise you and thank you. Then Lord, we pray tonight now that you just have your way. Magnify yourself. And I pray you touch us to preach. I plead the blood. Claim the victory in Jesus. And I confess to you, I can do nothing without you. Thank you for what you do in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. You may be seated. We're talking about today the God of the house of God. And Bethel, of course, means house of God. And here Jacob is, and God's telling him to go back to his kindred, and I mentioned that this morning, what had happened to Jacob, and you know all about his life of where he was before God got through with him, and God got through with him, he wasn't the same anymore, called Israel, and God greatly used, and a prince with God, as the Bible says. But turn back with me in the book of Genesis chapter 28, I want to read these verses again tonight so we get the setting of where we are with it. And talking about the God of the house of God. And look at it, what happens down to the true house of God. In verse number 16 of chapter 28. And Jacob awakened out of his sleep. And he said, surely the Lord is in this place. And I knew it not. I said this morning that Jacob did not know the presence of God in that place until he woke up. And I spent some time on that waking up. And high time that we awake out of our sleep, for now is our salvation nearer than when we believe. And so we need to be awake spiritually, and not only physically, but spiritually, and awake and come to the house of God, expecting to hear from heaven. We need to come in the house of God with our hearts in tune and ready for God to speak to us and to help us. And so we talked about that this morning. Then in verse 17, he was afraid and said, how dreadful is this place? That word dreadful does not mean a terrible thing, but an awesome place. And he's talking about the fear of God. We also mentioned this morning about how we need a revival of the fear of God. We take for granted sometimes who God is. God's holy, holy, holy. And we need to understand that as much as is humanly possible for us to understand that we come to worship a true and a living God. He's not a fat Buddha. He's not somebody man concocted somewhere and come up with. It's not humanism. He's holy God. He's not some scientific fact. He's a holy God. And we need to come in his presence and have a fear of him and fear God and serve God in that fear of God and not being afraid of him like you are a bear or a lion, but fear him in the sense I will wonder none of who he is and the glory of him. Oh, seraphim flew there in Isaiah chapter 6, and they cried, holy, holy, holy. And the train of the Lord filled the temple, and they were crying, holy, holy, holy. And Isaiah saw himself, and cried, woe is me. And that's why we need to be in the house of God and realizing he's holy God and cry holy and see ourselves like we are. Then verse 18, and Jacob rose up early in the morning and took the stone which he had put for his pillows, that's what he slept on, and set it up for a pillow and poured oil upon the top of it. He worshiped. He came in, he realized, he woke up, found the presence of God, realized he's in the presence of God in the house of God. And then he feared God, then he worshiped God. That oil's a type and picture of the Holy Spirit. You can't worship except in spirit and in truth. He rested first on the stone and then stood up and poured oil on it and worshiped. He is our rock of ages, one that we worship and adore. Verse 19, he called the name of the place Bethel. That's the house of God. But the name of the city was called Luz at the first. And Jacob vowed a vow. And there we find Jacob now making a vow. He came in the house of God, saw the presence of God, realized the presence of God, and knew God was in that place, feared God, worshiped God, and then he vowed unto God and made a vow. I'm not going to take time to read it tonight, but in chapter 35, he tells them to put away the false and strange gods and bury them under the oak at Shechem and go back to Bethel and worship there. And so we talked about it. We need to put away the strange gods. You know why some folk don't come to church faithful? They got strange gods in their life. You know why some folk don't really love God and witness for God or try to serve God and be faithful to God? They got strange gods in their life. You know why their life is not a testimony in the world? They have strange gods in their lives. And so we dealt somewhat with that. But let me give you something else tonight. The tragedy that can happen in the house of God. I want you to turn with me, please, in the book of 1 Kings chapter 12. 1 Kings chapter 12. And let's look at a tragedy in the house of God at Bethel. Here's a tragedy that takes place in verse number 26. And Jeroboam said in his heart, now shall the kingdom return to the house of David. Remember Solomon come on the scene after David, and then Solomon died, then Rehoboam come, and Jeroboam rebelled and took some with him, but Rehoboam was the one in Jerusalem, and Jeroboam took some with him. Now notice verse 27, if this people go up to do sacrifice in the house of the Lord at Jerusalem, then shall the heart of this people turn again unto the Lord, even unto Rehoboam, king of Judah, and they shall kill me and go again to Rehoboam, king of Judah. Whereupon the king took counsel and made two calves of gold and said unto them, it is too much for you to go up to Jerusalem. Behold, thy gods, O Israel, which brought thee up out of the land of Egypt. I pause there to say this. Isn't it odd? They made calves of gold there. And Aaron made a calf of gold back. You remember when he's wandering in the wilderness? And Moses up on the mount. And here they are. And around them they worship that kind of thing. And so here they are. And he took counsel. And it's a bad thing when you get the wrong kind of counsel. And he did. And he didn't ask of God. God would never have told him that. He asked somebody else. And they told him something. Verse 29. And he said to one in Bethel. He said it in Bethel, and the other put in Dan. Now this thing became a sin for the people and went to worship the one and even unto Dan. In other words, they're worshiping a golden calf now at Bethel. At the house of God where Jacob said, the presence of the Lord's in his place. And in that place he worshiped. In that place he feared God. In that place he got to where he made vows. He put away false gods, strange gods. But now back at Bethel, another one's come on the scene and somebody stepped in the place and now they got golden calves instead of the real true living God. And he took counsel. He got scared. He got shook up because people might leave him and go somewhere else. Let me say this to you. Today we're seeing it on every hand. They're getting golden calves because they want to keep a crowd. Amen. I've got two good examples I'm going to give you tonight. And what's happening in our world. Preacher, why do you preach that? Because every church, somebody, I don't even remember who said this, said every church is just one pastor away from being liberal or going charismatic or going down the wrong road. I believe that's true.
I believe that's true. And I want a generation coming on that knows God, has a love for God, no time away, and believes a King James Bible is the word of God, and stick with it, and knows when somebody brings in a golden calf and says, let's worship his. This is the God that brought you up out of Israel. He was a lion. That God didn't bring anybody out of anywhere. That's just a golden calf made by man. But God, the living God, the one Jacob had the presence of at Bethel, he's the God that brought him up out of Egypt. Hey, the real God's the God saved you too. Hey, man, you got saved by hearing preaching, didn't you? At least you might not have been hearing preaching right when you got saved, but you'd heard preaching. You'd heard the word of God. Somebody witnessed to you. Somebody told you about Jesus, and you got saved. And I still believe it works today. I still believe what we're doing works. I believe God honors what we're doing here at the house of God. I believe God honors us coming to the house of God. I do. And I believe God honors that. But churches today are turning Brother Jimmy on every hand and going down the path and saying, well, maybe we better rethink this thing about the Bible and the King James Version, and maybe we might better get something better fits the congregation. Let me tell you tonight, this old King James Bible will do. Every revival's ever been in the English-speaking world been using this King James Bible. Amen. And so I believe I'll just stick with the old stuff. Hey, man, that's the only thing. Stick by the old stuff. I believe I ought to stick with the old stuff and keep preaching the King James Bible. Amen. I don't need a strange God. I don't need a golden calf come in and say it's all right. Let me say this also. As they try, and it's on every hand. It's happening. And my wife, we sat down at lunchtime today. And I had a paper from up where I come from, Smith County, and a preacher I've known all of his life. And I've been with him. I've helped him in funerals. We've helped each other in funerals and been together. And I had a church that believed like his church. And she got to reading me that. I couldn't hardly believe my ears. And said they had now left the traditional way. They have an 8:30 service, and it's totally different from the 11 o'clock service. I want to ask you a question. Does God change from 8:30 to 11 o'clock? Does God somehow decide he's going to another kind of worship from 8:30 to 11? Does he decide that what they do at 11 o'clock at 8:30, it just doesn't work and have to do it? And so that crowd comes in at 8:30 and they have a more contemporary service, and they told some things they were doing and some kind of over $2 million building they're trying to build, all this kind of stuff. And what it amounts to is he sold out. You say, preacher, you ought not be a Christian. I'm not. I'm just a fruit inspector. Hey, man, I'm seeing the fruit. And hey, you can get the crowd to come. You can go the route and have the music they want. That's the golden calf of the day, by the way, is the music. And having the music changed and get the music to fit the beat of the world, and the crowd will come. Why shouldn't they come? I mean, and they can come and they give what they want to. It's a free will offering. And if they go to a concert, they got to pay for it. Amen. And so it's cheaper to go that route. And then to get in there, and it makes you feel good. And they like to dance and have that kind of thing. You know what I'm talking about. Y'all still with me? Amen, preacher. We know that. We know what you're going to say. We've heard all that. Yeah, but I want these young people to hear it again. I want these young adults to hear it again. This young man I'm talking about, he wasn't any spring chicken. He hadn't one just come out of the nest last week. He'd been around for a while. He's heard everything I'm saying. He's heard. He'd been in this. He knows what I'm talking about. But yet he went that way. Why? I'm telling you why. I believe one reason why is because what we're doing doesn't appeal to the world. It's not getting the crowd in. It's not getting people responding to. And it's going to get harder as we near the end. But I still believe that God will honor his word until Jesus comes back. And we need to keep singing the old songs, keep preaching the old book, and keep sticking by the stuff until he comes and takes us out of here. I realize there's some things that come by that needs to be changed. We don't need to get in such a tradition that we can never see anything to help us. I'm not saying that we never see anything to help us, but it better be biblical and be sound if we're going to do it. Amen. We don't need to go the world. If it even looks like a world, run.
That's good, preacher.
Amen. Now, but let me say this about what I'm talking about. There's a ditch on both sides of the road. And some folk gets in a ditch on the other side, and they gets hung up in that ditch. They turn everybody away from anything just about and gets a hard nose. Hey, I'm glad I'm saved and have liberty to serve God, have a good time, and shout victory, hallelujah. Amen, and praise God the same. Glory, hallelujah, amen. And I know what I'm saying is true because I see it happening all around me. And here, that's what can happen down to the house of God. Gateway Baptist Church one day, if Jesus doesn't come, I'll step off the scene. I won't be around, but I want you to get somebody in here that'll preach to you, love you, and preach Jesus Christ to you, shout the victory, keep by the book, and sing the old songs, and stick by it. Amen and amen. I'm just giving you fair warning. I may drop over tonight. Brother Wayne Easler dropped over this morning. He wasn't looking for him to go, but he went anyhow. I'm not got a trip planned right now, but I may go before morning comes. Amen. Jesus may come. If he comes, we'll all go. That's saved. But I'm talking about if I go otherwise or get to where I'm disabled and can't preach. I'm feeling pretty good right now. I believe we'll just keep on. But anyhow, I'm talking about this golden calf now. And what's happening? And so I know that church there. She sat there. The more she read to me, the worse my lunch tasted. Now, she didn't cook it. I bought it. I got myself enough trouble calling her. Well, never mind. But anyway, the more she read about that, the worse it got. And trying to raise money this way and that way. And said, you know, traditional Baptists wouldn't accept that and that kind of thing. And but he was going that round. And I want to serve notice on you today that God still operates on tithes and offerings. Amen. And we're not going to go in the selling business. And we're not, that's not what the church is for. I can't find anywhere in the Word of God, God ever said that the Word of God, the work of God is to be supported except by tithes and offerings. Amen. And we'll stick by that too. Tithes and offerings. I believe it works. Fact is, I know it works. Amen. I know it works. Ever since I've been preaching, it's been working. And I believe we keep on working until Jesus comes or takes us out. And so that works. And just keep on, keep on, keeping on. Amen. But then here not long ago, I had somebody come to me. And they was asking me a question. I won't go into all they was asking me for. But I just made a decision. I thought about it and talked to some deacons about it. And I talked to Brother Terry. But I knew which way I wanted to go with it. I knew how I felt about it. And they did too. And I believe all the deacons do. I believe everybody in the church will. And I don't think we want to connect up with folk that don't go the same route we're going. In fact is, I'm a little disturbed right now about what's been going on down the road just a little bit. You say, preacher, you ought not name names. When they say they're going to church and look like they come out of a bathing suit somewhere, been to the swimming pool, been out to the world, I don't really appreciate that. I don't really think that's what God meant for us to be involved with. Amen. But anyway, I got asked a question, and this fella come to see me, and he came in, and he said he's starting something. Said, now we're not like you, by the way. He came in with breeches. If I'd wore them when I was a kid, my mom made me take them off, and she just sewed patches on them. Then he had on his polo shirt and a cap, ball cap, and came in the house of God, didn't take his ball cap off, sat down across my desk, and said, now, we're trying to start this church, and said, now, we're not like you are. Well, you don't wear a suit. And by the way, the suit don't make the man. I understand that. But I believe I'll respect God enough to put on something look like something. You're welcome, amen. I believe I'll at least have respect for the house of God. Amen. If I'm going to preach, I'll I believe y'all respect the position I'm in. I'm no better than anybody wearing a polo shirt. I'm no better than anybody wearing whatever. If that's the best they got and that's what they're doing, that's fine. But I'm talking about they're deliberately doing it that route. He finally took off his cap when I said, I believe we better have a word of prayer. And he finally took off his cap and put it right back on, though, before he got out the door. But anyhow, here's what he said. He said, now what you're doing, and I said, you're not reaching the crowd we're going after. He said, now we're going after that young crowd, and we're going to try to get to him. And now we're not, you're doing your thing. I forgot what the word he used, old fashioned or something. But anyway, that's what he's talking about. And said, that's not the route we're going. And we're going to go this route. We're going to do it to them. I said, now, wait a minute. Hold on. Now, what you're saying is you're going to change to suit the crowd that you're trying to reach. I said, I thought we're supposed to change. God changes them to fit in our crowd. Amen. And amen. And three amens. And I still believe that's true. Amen. God didn't call me to change to fit the world, to get the world in. God called me to preach, and the gospel will change them, and God will change their hearts, and then they won't mind coming to church at 11 o'clock, and they won't mind coming in looking like they're going to church instead of a ball game, and they won't mind coming in saying, oh, how I love Jesus and Rock of Ages and old rugged cross, and amen and amazing grace, how sweet this I am. And saved the wretch like me. They won't mind singing, oh, hail the power of Jesus' name. They won't mind coming in singing a stick by the old stuff. Hallelujah. They'll just come in saying, preacher, preach, a sing, let's stick by the stuff. Let's do it right. Amen. I still believe God does that. God hadn't changed any. God hadn't changed his mind and gone a different route. God's still the same God. I still believe the old time way works and just keep by it. Amen. Needless to say, when he left out, he wasn't as happy as he was when he come in. But I hope it helped him. I really do. And I did pray for him because I hope he sees the truth and the reality, because that's not the way God called us to do it. Amen. God nowhere in this book told me I had to look like that crowd, act like that crowd. I'm not going to wear my breeches, look like it won't fall off. They make some now, looks like underwear on the top part and then something sewed on the bottom of them. I thought my soul, if I was going, well, never mind. Anyway, now they need Jesus, and we ought to love them and care for them because they don't know him better. They need Jesus Christ to help them and get right with God, but we need to love them. But what I'm trying to get to and where I'm heading, I'm talking about the God of the house of God. And the God that Jacob met back there, and the God that revealed himself to him, the God sent him down there. God said, go back to Bethlehem. He mean go back to that place and desecrate it, make a mess out of it, and not be the house of God. He meant for it to still be the house of God, but not put golden calves in it. Amen. And they as a standard, by the way, let me plug this in. I still like it when you go to the house of God, women dress like women. Amen. You're welcome. I'm not going to ride no hobby horse. I'm not going to tell somebody they're going to hell because they put on a pair of pants outside church. I'm not going to go that route. I'm just telling you, ladies, it's good for you to look like ladies anytime, but be modest, whatever you wear. But when we come to the house of God, let's at least respect the house of God. Amen. Ain't nothing wrong with that. I don't see anything wrong with that. Do you? But they expect us today to give in, and everybody else, well, everybody else is doing. It doesn't make a difference what everybody else is doing. How much important what God thinks of us, what God wants, amen. And when God gets glory, everything else will fall in place. Amen. Now, you can, and like I said, there's a ditch on both sides of the road, and I'm trying to just follow God. He'll say, be modest. Be my, amen, and act right, amen. And young men ought to act right, and young ladies ought to act right, and old women ought to act right. Young women and old women too. And some old women act like Jezebel. Then some old men, they want to act like they're teenagers. May the Lord help us all, amen. I saw an old fellow the other day, and bless his heart, I'm getting there myself, but I wonder if he's losing what. Had earrings hanging out, and nose ring, everything else. Looked like a pig. When I was a boy, we used to put rings in the nose of pigs, keep them from rooting. I'd hate to think I was acting like a pig putting a nose ring in. You're welcome. Amen. That'll go good in the world today, I'm sure. Amen. Well, anyhow, I want you to look. Where was I? I was talking about those golden calves, wasn't I? Yeah. So we got enough. We killed a few calves there. Knocked a few in the head. Knocked some gold out of some of them. Amen. That'll do for right now. And verse number 28, chapter 12, 1 Kings, whereupon the king took counsel. And again, I mentioned to you, we've got to be careful about the counsel you take. I get ideas all the time through the mail, and they tell me how to build a church. They got all kinds of ways to build a church. But here's the best book I know of. Tells me how to build a church. Amen. Is preach the word of God. And then verse 29, and they set one in Bethel, one in Dan. One in the country, one another in the country, and they just going to worship the golden calves. Chapter 13, and behold, this is 1 Kings. I'm still in 1 Kings. Chapter 13, behold, there came a man of God out of Judah by the word of the Lord unto Bethel, and Jeroboam stood by the altar to burn incense. He cried against the altar in the word of the Lord, and said, O altar, altar, thus saith the Lord, behold, a child shall be born unto the house of David, Josiah by name. And upon thee shall he offer the priest of the high places this burnt incense upon thee, and men's bones shall be burned upon thee. And he gave a sign the same day, saying, this is a sign which the Lord hath spoken. Behold, the altar shall be rent, and the ashes that are upon it shall be poured out. It came to pass when King Jeroboam heard the saying of the man of God, which had cried against the altar in Bethel, that he put forth his hand from the altar, saying, lay hold on him. And his hand which he put forth against him dried up, so he could not pull it in again to him. And the altar also was rent, ashes poured out from the altar, according to the sign which a man of God had given by the word of the Lord. Hallelujah. Hey, here come a man of God preaching, and he said, altar, altar, I said on thee, going off of the bones of the priest, I'd burn incense on you, these golden calves. Hey, these golden calves are going to fail one day. They're going to crumble one day. This movement we're seeing today is going to fall flat one day. It won't last. You know why? Because it's not of God. It's not a God. It won't last. It won't help people. And this thing of preaching, everybody feel good. Everybody just be positive. Never be negative. Always positive. That sounds good, but don't always work. Amen. God has a whole lot to say about thou shalt not. Thou shalt not. And thou shalt not. And so anyway, that's going to fail one day here. They thought they was having a time doing it their way, regardless of what God said. Here come the man of God. And he said, that's wrong. Don't do that. And said, there's going to be a sign given. Josiah's going to come. And we'll read that in just a moment. But Josiah, I'm glad, praise God, if the house of God ever gets turned around. I'm talking about that preacher up in Virginia. God can move and turn that thing around if he'll let God help him. He can turn back, but listen, Jeroboam stuck his hand out and said, get that man. In other words, that prophet, he's going to get him and kill him. And his hand dried up. I'm not going to take time to read it to you, but the amazing thing is the man of God prayed and let God take him, let him get his hand back in. Been me, I kind of want to pray the other hand freeze too. But not this man of God. He's a man of God. He's acting on God's authority. He's doing what God said. God said, prophesy against the altar at his place of Bethel. Not what it ought to be. He got golden calves and the altar rent. Ashes spilled out. King held out his hand. It dried up. Then he had to cry to the man of God to help him. And the man of God prayed for him. And he pulled his hand back in. But I want you to look with me. In 2 Kings. Chapter number 23. 2 Kings chapter 23. I'm going to finish up here in a few minutes. Here's a turning of the house of God. We saw the true house of God. What happens there? We saw the tragedy. Saw the tragedy of the house of God. Now we're talking about the turning of the house of God so we can get back to the God of the house of God. We need the true God of the house of God, not the golden calves. Now look at it in verse 15. Moreover, the altar that was at Bethel and the high place which Jeroboam, the son of Nebat, who made Israel to sin and made both that altar and the high place he broke down, burned the high place and stamped it, small to powder, burned the grove. And as Josiah, See, that's what the man of God said. There'll be one born named Josiah. Will come, and he's going to do this. Turned himself, he spied the sepulchres that were there in the mountain, sent, took the bones out of the sepulchres and burnt up them upon the altar and polluted it according to the word of the Lord, which the man of God proclaimed, who proclaimed these words. Then he said, what title is that I see? And the men of the city told it is the sepulchre of the man of God, which came from Judah, proclaimed these things that thou hast done against the altar of Bethel. He said, let him alone. Let no man move his bones, so they let his bones alone. And the bones of that prophet came out of Samaria. Listen, here to end, I want to close it out with the turning back to the God of the house of God. Josiah came in, he did away with those altars of Bethel that were wrong, the calves and groves and altars were wrong, burnt to him. Took the bones of those priests and burnt incense on and burnt them. Hey, you turn away from the true God of the house of God and you're getting a mess. That whole crowd got in a mess. But then that bones of that man of God, he said, leave them alone. Leave them alone. He cried like he should have cried. He did what he ought to do. I want to wind it up right. I want to wind it up in glory. I want to wind it up with joy in my soul. I want to wind it up with God saying it's real, it's real. Stick by the old stuff. The God of the house of God, he don't allow golden calves in his house. The God of the house of God wants you to worship him in spirit and truth. The God of the house of God wants you to give your life and serve him. Tell others how good Jesus really is. Let's bow our heads. Father, thank you for the Lord Jesus. Thank you for the privilege to open this blessed old book. Share the word of God. Lord, thank you tonight that we can come together like this and just meet together. Go to church and meet the God of the house of God. Thank you, Lord, that you're real in this place. Thank you, Heavenly Father, for all the times that we've blundered and you've helped us. Thank you, Lord, that we realize the fact that we're not perfect in any means, but you are. We want to follow you. We want to stick with the stuff that you want us to stick with. We want to be the man of God you want us to be. We want to be the church you want us to be. God, we want to always recognize the God of the house of God. Your God, help us to worship and adore, to praise and give thanks. Now, Father, tonight in this invitation, you know exactly who's here. You know why you wanted this preached today. Lord, I leave it in your hands for the invitation. Thy will be accomplished. I plead the blood of the Lord Jesus Christ. In his name we pray. Amen.